May we pray? Lord, we praise You that we can have our faith and hope in You with full assurance that we will understand it when we see You face to face, and we will be made perfect through the power of Your Son. I pray as we go to the Word this morning that You would open up our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Our focal passage this morning is where we have spent the past several Sundays, Matthew 5, verse 43. Matthew 5, 43. It reads, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." As we've studied these verses over the last couple of Sundays, we have studied that we have to love everyone, just not the saved. The Pharisees thought that they could love their neighbor but hate their enemy, and Christ corrected that misteaching. We also determined that love isn't acquiescence of sin, that we are to stand for truth. We're supposed to stand for truth in the church. We are to stand for truth as we interact with the lost. And sometimes this means doing the tough thing. It's hard sometimes to stand for the truth. When a church has to administer church discipline with a wayward brother, it can be extremely difficult. If you proclaim your belief in a hostile world, it can be difficult. And so as we say love, sometimes people think, well, you know, that's easy. But what I want to do this morning is, as we recognize the fact that loving in a Christian context can be a very difficult task, I want us to explore some scripture to encourage us to love. And as we look at scripture, I first want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And as we love in a difficult world, I think that we need to remember that we were once children of wrath, and now we are children of God. Look at Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "In you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." That was our condition before we met the Lord. When you look at what Paul writes the church at Ephesus, it says that we were dead. In other words, we were not in the need of rehabilitation. We were in the need of regeneration. A dead man can't revive themselves, can they? It takes an act of God to change us. We were dead in sin. He goes on and says, we were walking according to the course of this world. We were by nature children of wrath. As we are to love our enemies, we have to remember who we were before God in His graciousness, in His mercy, in His love, called us. In fact, if you look at verse 4 of Ephesians 2, Paul makes that statement. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We're here by grace, aren't we? We're not here because we figured something out. We're not here because we have a superior intellect. And as we are to love the unlovable, we have to walk in the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and realize that we didn't earn our salvation. How many times have you witnessed people who want to continually pat themselves on the back that they're a Christian? It's not anything that we did. We're not here because we're smarter than the rest of the world. We're here just out of grace. And for us to love our enemy, we have to realize that it's only through God's grace that we're being saved. That we need to reach out and love people because we need to remember that we were once like them. That we were dead in our sin. When you look at verse 11, he says, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and the strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Have we forgotten that without Christ, that we lived in a world without hope and without God? See, if we're to love our enemy, we need to realize that that's the world that they're living in. They are living in a world without hope. Just like the song says, looking for love in all the wrong places. That's what the lost world's doing. They are trying to find satisfaction in everything, in every avenue, except God. If we realize that as we live in a world that does not know God, we're better prepared. Because just as Paul outlines in verse 14 of Ephesians 2, it says, "For He Himself is our peace." Christ is our peace. Christ is the reason why we're satisfied. Christ is the reason that we have rest. When we realize that it's not by works of righteousness, but it is by His grace, when we rest in Christ and realize that He is our continual peace. Some people look at their salvation and they go, "Well, God, I gave my life to You 20 years ago, and that's great. Now I'm on my own. I'm doing it my way." And through the works of the flesh, you will find failure at every turn. Later on, Paul says in verse 19 that we are members of the household of God. Members of the household of God. Before Christ, we were children of wrath. After Christ, we are members of His household. In order for us to operate effectively in a world that does not know Christ, we must have that Christ-centric view. We must realize that it's not through our flesh that we have the ability to live a godly life. It's only through the indwelling of the Spirit. I think as we try to put action to Matthew 5:43-48, I think we also have to remember that we have to communicate with grace and salt. Turn to Colossians 4. Colossians 4, starting in verse 2. It says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being diligent in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I make it manifest as I ought to speak." And then in verse 5, he says, "Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Let your speech always be with grace and seasoned with salt. That should be our marching orders. We should be graceful, but does that mean that we sacrifice our beliefs or we diminish the truth? Absolutely not. We have to be truthful. We have to stand for truth. But in standing for truth, we need to speak it in a graceful manner. When I look at Westboro Baptist Church and the hate that they proclaim, it was evident this last month as the news account reads, "The Westboro Baptist Church continued to find tragedies to exploit for publicity this week when the Topeka, Kansas-based anti-gay group announced the plans to picket the funeral of Glee star Corey Monteith. He was found dead in his Vancouver hotel room on Saturday. He was 31. Although the show Glee features many homosexual characters, Monteith Fins Hudson's was heterosexual. Off-screen, he was also straight." They tweeted in a series of remarks, "Hell won't be gleeful for Corey. He taught millions to sin." We see them protest at the death of our soldiers. They're a horrible group of people. Let your speech be with grace. That's not with grace. That's not speaking the truth with grace. When we speak the truth with grace, we can do it with the confidence that God is right and is victorious. See, I don't have to prove that God's going to win. I know that. You know that. Just turn to the back of the Bible. So many times Christians feel like that it is their responsibility to save people. All our job is to proclaim the truth. And I can proclaim the truth, and you can proclaim the truth with grace because I do not have to do any of the work. The work was done on the cross. Now, can I stand in the public square and call people to repentance? Absolutely. In fact, there's not enough of that because the law is the tutor that brings us to Christ. So I can stand and proclaim His truth and then let the Holy Spirit work in the hearts and minds of people. But when I am ungraceful, I just give the world the ammunition that they need to poke holes in the argument for Christianity. We need to be graceful people. We need to be people with grace. It doesn't mean that we don't say homosexuality is a sin. It is a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. Adultery is a sin. And it's quite appropriate to look at someone who is sinning and say, "I'm a believer, and this is what God's laws say." And I want you to think about that. I want you to read what the Bible says about this particular thing that you're going through. Does that mean that I get in their face at a funeral and scream and holler and protest? Absolutely not. We have to be a people of grace. Why is that? Because Christ was about grace. Look at Romans 5, 7 through 9. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. People have forgotten that. That Christ died for us while we were still sinners. We need to remember that we are the recipient of a grace that we did not deserve, we did not earn, and we do not deserve to keep. It's only through His grace. When we recognize that we are in His grace continually, then we can look at our enemies and lovingly call them and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. When we start looking at people and saying, I'm better, I'm smarter, and we forget what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, we are unable to live Matthew 5 effectively. Well, not only do we need to keep our speech with grace and salt, but we also need to acknowledge that we operate in a sinful environment. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We live in a world dominated by sin. We live in a world in which the devil would love to ruin your testimony. Why does he want to devour you? Because he'd love to ruin your testimony among your friends, family, and neighbors. That's the environment that we live in. Have you ever been wronged by someone? And the next words out of your mouth, I can't believe that they did that to me. Why should we be shocked about that? When you deal with lost people, why should we be shocked that lost people would mistreat us? They're just doing what lost people do. They're children of wrath. That's what we were before the cross. In fact, we shouldn't be surprised when we're mistreated by anyone, because we live in a world of people with clay feet. If people were going to do the right thing, we would not need contracts, would we? Wouldn't need contracts. Wouldn't need lawyers. Wouldn't need courts. All that would go away. But that's not the environment we live in. See, for us to be effective, for us to love with a Christ-like love, we need to realize that we operate in an environment of sin. It's just natural. We operate in a world where people are going to hurt our feelings. They're going to say the wrong thing. They're going to mistreat us. They're going to take advantage of us. The moment you start thinking that doesn't exist, then you can't love your enemy. You can't love your brother effectively. Because eventually you're going to get your feelings hurt and you're going to give up. There's lots of people that have given up, aren't there? Lots of people that have given up. We've all experienced that, haven't we? Are you here for the people or are you here for Jesus Christ? See, when you're here for Jesus Christ, when you're allowing the Spirit to work through you, then you can love as Christ loved us. And that's with a sacrificial love. In other words, we shouldn't become discouraged when we allow the Spirit to work through us and we realize that we operate in a sinful environment. Which leads us to the next verse, 2 Thessalonians 3:12 through 14. If you're going to be obedient, if you're going to let God work through you, you need to write this verse down. 2 Thessalonians 3:12 through 14. Those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Do not grow weary in doing good. Now, do you think that's just one of those phrases that Paul popped out and just said it without any thought? Do not grow weary while doing good. This is from the words of a veteran in ministry. Now, you may say to yourself, well, I'm not a preacher. We've all been given a gift. We've all been given a gift to serve in His kingdom. Your gift may not be teaching. It may not be preaching. It may not be music. But we are all called to minister. And if you are going to minister, you are going to take some knocks along the way. It's just natural. In dealing with the lost, just like us, they were children of wrath before they were saved. In dealing with the saved, we all have clay feet. In other words, Paul's saying, as you take your knocks along the way, don't grow weary. Continue to be a disciple, a follower of Christ. Have you ever met somebody who said, well, you know, I decided I was going to do this such and such ministry, and this bad thing happened, and I'm never going to do that again. I've heard people say that. I'm not going to put myself out there. I'm not going to subject myself to disappointment. I'm not going to let people mistreat me. What if Christ said that? What if Christ said that? Because, see, it says that He died for us while we were still sinners. We don't deserve Christ. We don't merit Christ. And as we proclaim His truth, we take on His characteristics and live selflessly to a world that does not deserve or merit it. God tells us to proclaim it. Turn to Hebrews 12, starting at verse 1. Verse 1 is a very familiar verse. In fact, verse 1 and 2 is a very familiar verse. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at verse 3. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. See, if we are going to be effective in ministry, if we're going to be effective in loving, if we're going to love our enemies, if we're going to love our brothers effectively, then we have to look at verse 3 and consider Jesus Christ and what He's done for us, lest we become weary and discouraged in our souls. My friends, the path, the race is rough. And the only way that we can finish it, the only way that we can complete it is to remember what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And He is able to help us finish the race. Will you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you something this morning. Are you living your life as an ambassador of Jesus Christ? See, an ambassador goes to a foreign land, serves in a culture that's not his own, and represents his ruler. You and I are to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Our foreign land is a sinful world. Jesus Christ is our King. And we're supposed to represent His truth. If you're not doing that, if you're missing out on opportunities to love a world with a selfless love, to actively show Jesus Christ to people, right now where you're at, just recommit your life to being a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. Not someone who just says the words. Not someone who just attends church on a Sunday. But to actively get up every day and say, God, I'm going to give You this day. I'm going to serve You. Give me the words to say, the actions to do, because I want to live for You today. If you're not doing that every day, just right where you're at, recommit your life to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Father, I just praise You this morning that not only have You saved us, but You've given us the indwelling of the Spirit. You've equipped us. You've adopted us into Your kingdom, and we're to be Your ambassadors. That means a love that is a Christian love. I pray, Lord, that this church might be known as followers of Christ, that we might love others selflessly and in our small way mirror the love that You've given us. I pray if there's someone here, Lord, that needs to make a decision, that they'd do so today. In Jesus' name, amen. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, is God calling you this morning? Is He speaking to you? If He is, don't delay.